Call to order and welcome. We would like to welcome you to the June 25th, 2025 meeting of the Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value. In order to promote the health, prosperity, and general welfare of the people, the preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. This commission is appointed by the City Council, is not affiliated with any for-profit or non-profit organizations. Preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance are used by the Commission to determine the compatibility of proposed changes and new development visible from the public right-of-way, including streets, lanes, and sidewalks within the Savannah Local Historic and Conservation Districts. The Commission cannot consider criteria not specifically identified within the ordinance, items such as land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and interior arrangements of structures are not within the Commission's purview and cannot be forced in the issuance or denial of a certificate of appropriateness. Similarly, personal preferences will not be the basis for decisions. Please turn off all cell phones. Let's go through a posting of the signs. Any members of the Commission receive an electronic agenda this week before the meeting and individually visit the sites of the project. If a project is not properly posted, it is removed from the agenda and rescheduled. Were any properties not properly posted this month? Okay, hearing none. We're going to these agenda items have been found by the President of Charles to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and have apparent consensus with no objective from the public. Are there any members of the public or a commissioner who wishes to remove an item from the consent agenda to the regular agenda?
Yes, sir, I would.
Oh, please. Okay, can you please come up to the podium? What's your name?
Tommy Danos.
Okay, Tommy, which item?
Number three.
Okay, we're going to remove number three off of the consent agenda and put it to the regular agenda. Having done that, let's go through, can I get a motion regarding the consent agenda?
Courtney Bonney, I just wanted to inform the public that I will be recusing myself from item 9 of the consent agenda.
Okay, great. Somebody want to make a motion?
Okay. Brian Woods, I make a motion to approve.
Kathleen Bryan, a second.
Great. Let's do a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Katrina, I guess Scott?
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine, approve.
Courtney? Okay. I vote for it, so motion carries. Okay, next. We're going to go to items requested to be removed from the agenda. We have none. We will go to the continued agenda.
Adoption of the agenda.
Adoption of the regular meeting agenda. Can I get a motion?
Kathy Levine, I've got a question. Is number three going to the top or the end, or where is
that
it?
That is up to you all.
Pardon me?
That is up to you all.
Is the petitioner here? Oh.
Let's go ahead and put three right at the beginning and get it before the beginning of the agenda. Are we ready to get into the regular agenda?
You just need to approve the minutes of the last meeting and then we can.
Okay. Does someone want to put a motion to approve the minutes?
Scott Krotzer, I motion to approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
Brian Woods, second.
Okay, let's do a voice vote. Everybody in favor?
Aye. Kathy LeBron, yes.
Scott Krotzer, yes.
Brian Woods, yes.
Jeff Dutrieke, yes. Motion approves. Now let's go into the no request for extension, so let's go into the regular agenda. And let's go ahead and start with item number 3.
All right, I'm just going to take a second here so I can have both of these pulled up together. Okay. So thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval to modify ground-based and tower-mounted equipment on an existing cellular tower located at 1315 Bull Street. This is the packet they submitted. Much of this has a lot of the technical things for the replacement of the equipment, but there are some profile drawings of the existing tower. So ultimately, they are looking to just do some equipment upgrades to some of these antennae. And you'll see those are there. That might be kind of the end of the drawings. But 1315 Bull Street is a cell phone tower that is a non-contributing resource in the National Register of Victorian Historic District and Local District. The tower was initially constructed in 1988 after a text amendment to allow for a 150-foot tower in the Victorian Historic District was approved. It's been repurposed for different uses since that time, currently used by T-Mobile. So because there's no design standards for a tower, we still use our visual compatibility criteria, saying the height, width, and scale of the tower are existing conditions. The equipment modifications are not going to cause these elements to change. For materials, regarding materials already on the tower, the same type of materials will be used in the replacements. There are no contributing resources that could sufficiently be compared to the tower, but in the sense that this is an already existing structure, the materials do not differ from what has already been approved previously. There's also a wireless communications facilities permit that has to be obtained, but there is a portion of that that we would review under the historic section. So it would be just that there, some of this, you know, is for something brand new and not on something that exists. So this is saying attached, proposed for existing structures shall also be concealed unless it can be demonstrated that the facility will not be visible from the ground level. Clearly that doesn't apply in this case because this is already very visible. And it's not attached to or within a historic building or structure. But the COA is required. So the petitioner has also applied for the wireless communications facilities permit. But for the purpose of this review, it's just dealing with that historic aspect. This tower is existing. The equipment modifications will be somewhat visible, but not more so than what can currently be seen. Staff recommends approval of the COA for this site due to the minor modifications proposed. So with that, staff recommendation is to approve the request to modify equipment on the cellular tower located at 1315 Bull Street as requested because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you. I'll be happy to take any questions.
So, Caitlin, exactly what are they planning to swap out equipment-wise?
With some of the antenna items up at the top here. So it's just what you see. Let me get to you this picture, what you see right up here.
Okay.
So.
And that's basically it?
Yes.
Kathy Levine, question, is the equipment larger than what is existing, and what about lights on the equipment?
There's no lights. As far as I know, we can confirm that with the applicant, who may be online if they are not in person. But it looks like they are going to be doing some modifications to existing, but then adding some additional equipment that doesn't appear that it's significantly larger, especially what we would see from the ground level.
Okay, great. Any other questions from the board? I guess we need to hear from Tommy.
Thank you, sir.
Sure.
Oh, wait, we can ask if the applicant or the applicant.
Oh, is the applicant here? Okay, great.
Amanda. Okay, then we'll have public comment.
All right.
So I'm waiting.
Yes.
Is the applicant?
Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Thank you.
Okay. Please identify yourself for the record.
Amanda Nova.
Did anyone have any questions for Amanda?
Kathy Levine, are there any lights on the structure?
No, ma'am.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay, let's go to a public comment.
Thank you. I'm here on behalf of the property owner that is below this tower. The property is owned by St. Paul's Greek Orthodox Church. I help them manage that property. So American Tower, the petitioner, did send us a notification that they'll be doing work on the tower. We did not get anything from MPC in advance. The only thing we saw was out in front of our building notice for a cell tower replacement, which we thought was kind of a big ticket item. We read that as they're taking the whole thing out and putting a whole new thing in. So that's why I'm here today. In the past, they've done modifications to the arrays at the top, and we're good with that so long as they don't do any work on Sunday, which they're aware of that. And they typically follow that, and hopefully they will definitely follow that in the future. But just a couple of breakdowns. On your notification that you posted, you said tower replacement. So I might say tower modification or something like that. And as the property owner, we'd like to receive some kind of notification when it's affecting our property. You know.
Well, excuse me, aren't they your tenant?
I'm sorry?
Aren't they your tenant?
They are our tenant. And like I said, they sent us a notice of modification.
Okay.
But we got a sign out in front that said cell tower replacement. But I would have thought that the MPC would have sent us something saying there's something going to happen to your property.
If your own tenant's not notifying you, it's certainly not our place to give a higher burden of notification than they would. It sounds like they did exactly what they should have, and we have done exactly what we should have. I mean, this is a public process. We put the sign, it was posted, and you're here, but as your tenant, they'd already notified you in advance of what you were going to get done.
But it's not a cell tower replacement.
No, it is not.
That's just semantics, but there again, you know, you have a contractual obligation with this tenant. They would have told you and had to get approval from you or let you notice what they were doing.
So as a property owner, MPC is not obligated to send us a notification?
No. No, it's your tenant. You don't have that relationship with your own tenant as contractually obligated to let you know. And it sounds like they did by your own admission.
They did, but still, you're the body that's going to pass it. You're the body that's going to approve it. So if the tenant is doing something that we don't know about, I would feel that it's the responsibility of the governing body to let the property owner know. But I guess I'm wrong.
No.
Kathy LeBrenna, I believe they used to. They used to send notifications to the surrounding property owners, but they no longer do that. That sign is the public notice given to property, again, surrounding property owners, and I agree with Jeff. They should 100% be telling you what they're doing to your property.
It's a contractual obligation with the tenant. It's really their responsibility to let you know. And if they do something and don't tell you, then you have a right and recourse through whatever documentation or lease you've got with them to go back after them. But it's not really our,
So what about the posting? Is the posting accurate?
I think we're talking about nomenclature. Basically, I think that we put on the consent agenda to approve what they had requested, which seems to be to swap out some of the antennas. So it wasn't an actual replacement of the tower. That probably was inaccurate, but, you know, you could have easily called the staff and they would explain to you what this, you know, consent agenda item is, which is just to replace the antennas.
I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Okay, do I have a... any of the board members want to discuss this?
Uh,
Scott Krotzer. I move that the Historic Preservation approve the petition of American Tower Corporation, Amanda Novus 25-002820-COA, 315 Bull Street, as submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah Zoning Ordinance.
Do a second.
Courtney Bonney, second.
Great. Being motion properly made and seconded, let's go for a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott?
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy?
Kathy LeBron, approve.
Courtney?
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Notarica, approve. Motion carries. Okay. Well, let's go to the first item on the regular agenda, the petition of Array Design, Shauna Kuchera, 25-002209COA for 116 West Duffy Street, new construction, bless you, small parts 1 and 2 swimming pool.
All right, thank you. This is Caitlin again. So the applicant's requesting approval to construct an accessory structure in the rear yard and installation of a metal shed roof over the rear deck along the principal structure located at 116 West Duffy Street. The application also includes a fence and a swimming pool installation, which will also be reviewed. The accessory structure is going to be a one-story, two-car garage with a roof deck and an exterior stair on the west side of the garage. All right, so just a little project history. The Savannah Historic Preservation Commission first heard this at the meeting May 28th last month, where the decision was to continue the request to allow the applicant time to address the following. So the first condition was to submit a full elevation drawing of the rear porch roof, railing and deck expansion, including how the roof will be attached to the historic building, and a perspective of how this would look from behind the fence to see what's visible from the lane, It's just moving slow. All right, here we go. So they have provided this information. So we have the elevation here. We have the side profile that was there previously, but now they've included this info plus the attachment. And then instead of a 6-foot fence, they're proposing an 8-foot fence. So this line here notes the new proposed height. So it seems much of this would not be visible. Second was to apply for an after-the-fact COA for the removal of the double doors, transom, and molding, include information about whether the original transom, molding, and doors were salvaged for reinstallation or whether it will be an in-kind replacement. Initially, there was a request to keep the new doors that were installed, and there's currently the proposal to install that 8-foot fence, which would obstruct the first floor from view. Now, the third condition, provide information on the drawings about the height of the railing and spacing between cables for the stairs leading up to the back deck on the garage and for the rear deck area on the house, if it will be visible. This was provided on the north elevation drawing. It's now there, if I can get back to it. So these details were included. And then to provide information about the fence, including material and height. So now the fence information has been included. It is an extruded aluminum fence. Now that information is all there, as with last month's report, staff found the standards for the pool accessory structure, porch roof addition were all met. Would still note that in the time since this was first presented last month, the applicant was able to find out that the then existing doors and transom were removed due to degradation and water infiltration. Despite the reasons, though, this still does not meet the Secretary of the Interior standards. However, as noted, we're in the situation where this may no longer be visible from the public right-of-way. But with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the request to construct a one-story garage with a roof deck a porch roof at the rear of the main house, install a fence and a swimming pool in the rear yard of the property at 116 West Duffy Street with the following condition, because the work is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. One, if the rear doors remain visible from the public right-of-way after the installation of the fence, the doors must be changed to a transom and French door style similar to the original configuration. Thank you.
Okay, is the petitioner here? Actually, do we have any questions of staff, board members? Kathy? Okay, hearing no questions from the board, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and the board. My name is Shauna Casera. I am the architect working on this project. This is Larry Custer. He is the homeowner. And thank you, Caitlin, for explaining what we did in response to your questions from last month and concerns. One of the things was shifting that stair closer to the house, away from the facade of the garage, facing the lane. The other items were just providing clarification regarding the railings and some materials, but I think the doors being replaced are of big concern and probably what you may have questions about. So that's why homeowner is here to answer some of those questions that you may have. I would like to note that in the three row houses, all three of those doors have been replaced. Now the other two do have the transoms intact, but the actual doors, including the ones that my client removed, were a fiberglass sliding door with grills between the glass. Other than that, if you have any questions for us, we are ready.
Scott Krotzer. So the original doors weren't there when you purchased the house even?
They were not wood doors.
And the transom wasn't there either?
The transom was there.
Okay.
But I don't believe that it was wood, but I'm not positive.
I just had a question, and this is regarding something that I think that we need to update. But as for privacy with the rooftop deck, is there a reason why the standing area is on the lane side rather than on the pool side?
Why the standing area is on
the lane side? Well, there's a pergola up there, right?
Correct, closer to the lane.
So it is on the lane side, and you can, like, if someone was standing, they're looking over the pool. A pergola, I would assume, would be for like a sitting area. And the reason I'm asking this is because one of the zoning requirements is that we don't want a property to overlook its neighbor's yard. And I always have a problem with the fact that these rooftop balconies, in fact, are looking over the lane side. And to me, that means the lane owns it and not the property owns it. But it looks to me now that I've looked at the drawing backwards. So you are standing on the pool side.
So when we come up the stairs here, we enter and we're under the pergola.
Okay.
So this hatched area represents the pergola. This railing overlooks the pool. This wall is a 42-inch high solid wall on the sides and the lane side of the.
Thank you. I was looking at it backwards. Thank
okay.
you. Yes. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Any other questions from board members?
Courtney Bonney. Yes. Going back to the door, and excuse me, I'm trying to catch up. I was gone the last meeting. So between the application in May, the doors were still there, and then they were replaced between this meeting and last meeting, is that correct?
No. The doors were in place at the last meeting. So we just provided additional information as to why they were replaced and what they are, dimensions and view from the lane of that area.
When were they installed?
October?
Last October, I believe.
Is there a specific reason there wasn't a COA application at that time?
Ignorance. They were leaking water and it was damaging the interior of the house, so we were just wanted to get something done as soon as we could. Didn't realize that had to be.
Understood. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. We have one comment card from the public. Ellie Isaacson, Historic Savannah Foundation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's Architectural Review Committee would like to be on record still not in favor of the proposed garage design, as it is not compatible with the main house's style and has a roof deck, for the same reasons that Mr. Kroetzer already explained. The extension of the fence, which serves as a mechanical screening, is not the appropriate height. We also have concerns over the siding material being an approved material in the ordinance and being visually compatible with the area.
Thank you. Would the applicant like to address that?
The fencing around the refuse area and under the stair is a, oh, let's pull it up. Is a vertical metal product. The siding is a fiber cement, which is allowable in this district. The house, the main contributing structure is a clapboard. So originally I was wanting to do a stucco finish, but with guidance from Historic Preservation, we've gone with a lap siding. And this is a one-story low garage structure with an open roof deck. I feel that it is not that it works with the site.
Thank you. At this point, public comment is closed. Board members, if you'd like to discuss.
Scott Kroetzer, didn't the commission have some concern with the design of the other row houses because this is happening at all of them? Before, or what were, wasn't there a comment about how these two were going to interact?
This meets the setbacks on this one, though.
Yeah, so they're not requiring any variances whatsoever on this one.
No, and this one they wanted to build, the one next door wanted to build on the zero lot line. But this one meets the ADU or accessory structure setbacks.
Any other comments from commissioners? At this point, I'd like to call for a motion.
Brian Woods, I move to a motion to approve the petition by Array Designs, Shauna Cusera, file number 25-002209-COA at 116 West Duffy Street.
Including conditions?
Including emissions.
Scott Kroetzer, I second.
Okay, having a motion tendered and seconded, let's go for a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods approve.
Scott?
Scott Kroetzer approve.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine approve.
Courtney?
Approve.
Country Guy approve. Motion passes. At this point, I've got to apologize. I think I committed a procedural error, and we did not adopt the agenda. So at this point, I'd like to ask to get a motion to the agenda and get it seconded.
Scott Kroetzer, I motion to adopt the agenda as presented with the addition of item 3 from the consent agenda at the beginning.
I can live on a second.
Brian, if I can call for a vote.
Brian Woods, call for a vote to approve the agenda with the adoptions mentioned.
Yes.
Scott Kroetzer approve.
Kathy.
Kathy Bonnie approve.
Courtney.
Courtney Bonnie approve.
Great. Motion carries. My apologies for that. Now we will go on to Petition of Joette Jones Design, Joette Jones 25-002513 COA 628-630 West 32nd Street Rehabilitation.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant is requesting approval for in-kind siding replacement and the addition of PVC corbels around the building located at 628-630 West 32nd Street. 628 and 630 was built in 1900 and is a contributing resource in the National Register Kyler-Brownville Historic District and the local Kyler-Brownville Historic District. It is a rare example of a two-story wood frame duplex in an area whose dominant style is a variety of one-story bungalow housing types. So just kind of go through the project. Here's the current appearance of the house. Current conditions of the siding that's proposed to be replaced with wood siding in kind. There's just a lot of areas that need that. So the second part of the project is going to be for those PVC corbels. So here's just some images of that and the profile. We'll make a note, even though we do not review color, the applicant did color match to repaint with what was there. So they made that effort just to make sure they were keeping that to what it is. And just saying that there's no corbels on this building currently, but they provided some justification about why they would like to see them added to this. So we'll just get into... staff did not find any issue at all with the in-kind wood siding replacement. So the applicant proposes to add architectural grade PVC corbels that follow the spacing of the rafters. Other examples of very similar buildings were provided by the applicant showing various corbel designs. It is very common to see these throughout Kyler-Brownville, even on one-story housing. I can just kind of pull this up just to show some in this area. And then another example is on the house on the corner of Hardin and West 41st Street. Staff research did not uncover historic photographs to determine whether there had been at one point. But given that this is a prevalent feature throughout the district, staff finds their inclusion would not be a false sense of historical development. Get back to here. So the ordinance says that though certain building materials are prescribed within it, the Historic Preservation Commission may approve alternative materials that are not listed as prohibited upon a showing by the applicant that the material or product is visually compatible with historic building materials and has performed satisfactorily in the local climate. In this case, the applicant proposes to install those PVC grade architectural grade PVC corbels, which are not listed as prohibited. The applicant provided detailed drawings of the corbel specifications and elevation drawings. And what is still needed is a sample of the material to show it closely resembles a wood corbel. Staff was having ongoing conversations with the applicant, and it was determined that the manufacturer could not provide a sample of the corbel. So staff condition is to recommend providing at least some photographs used on other buildings or anything to show what the proposed product looks like. And if a full corbel sample cannot be obtained, that the type of PVC which the corbels are manufactured from be shown to the commission so they can make an informed decision. And as noted, because we've been having ongoing conversations after the report was written and the information was provided initially, the petitioner is here and she will show you a little bit of information she was able to gather from the manufacturer's website. So because of that, though, where it currently stands, the recommendation at the time this was written is to continue the request to install in-kind siding replacement and the addition of PVC corbels around the building located at 628 to 630 West 32nd Street to the July 23rd, 2025 Historic Preservation Commission meeting to allow the applicant time to obtain the physical sample of or high resolution photographed images of the proposed corbels for the commission to make an informed decision on this proposed alternate material. Thank you.
Thank you. board members, any questions for staff?
Okay. Kathy Levine, I've got a question. Sure. Is it whole scale removal and replacement of the siding?
I believe they found that much of it was already in a pretty bad shape. We'll confirm that with the petitioner that it's all of it, or if it was the spot treating of it.
Yeah, that was my question to Scott Krotzer, is whether it was just in place where the damage is. It doesn't seem like it's the whole.
It does say the comprehensive siding replacement with durable materials, which will be wood.
If that's the case, I mean, that's not in keeping with the Secretary of Interior standards for repair versus replace.
Well, let's get what, let's hear from the petitioner and she can confirm.
Okay.
Where that stands.
One question. Are the existing windows, what is the material of the existing windows?
We did not look at the windows since it wasn't part of the project. So honestly, I do not have the answer for that.
Okay.
Can we hear from the petitioner? Or is the petitioner here?
Let me get it on.
Please state your name. Come up to the podium.
Let's pull up for a second. And then the PowerPoint has everything else. You can click on that and go back to the.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Joette Jones. And I'm here presenting this project in Kyler Brownville. I guess I will address the first question about the comprehensive siding replacement. The current condition of the siding it's in pretty bad shape. The preference is to sort of spot treat as much as possible. It will be likely the majority of it that needs to be replaced. However, it's very old construction. A lot of the siding is nailed directly into the studs with no ply. So it's offering the potential for water to get in. There is water damage. And so that's where that proposal is coming from, to potentially replace all of it. But the preference would be to patch where we can. And in that patching, add plywood, add insulation, because there is none.
Thank you. What about referencing getting a sample of the corbel?
So with the corbels, the reason why we chose architectural grade PVC is more of a durability play. This is something that we plan to prime and paint. And once that's done, it's visually indistinguishable from any other material such as wood or urethane. And so that's the idea behind specking the PVC. And these are photos that I grabbed from the manufacturer's website. Apart from just bringing an actual corbel in today, I couldn't grab a sample from them. And so this is just an idea. This is not the corbels that we are specking for this particular project. That is within the presentation that I believe Caitlin was showing earlier, but this just gives an idea of what it would look like installed. These examples, however, aren't really, they're not showing our particular paint color, but this is an idea of what they would look like once they are in place. What we were trying to achieve was, just going back to the presentation, we are modeling a lot of our design decisions around the roof line after this particular building that's on East Broad Street. And so even going after even the same profile, this sort of simple profile and elevation, nothing too fancy, wanting to go in line with the bulk Victorian details that are already prevalent on the house.
Excellent. I'm certainly intrigued about the PVC corbels. Is it possible to get some sort of a sample, even just a small section of it?
I can get PVC, but I'm not sure it will be finished in the same way that this manufacturer will provide. But I can look into it.
I think that's something staff would like to see. If we could just get a small sample just to see, even if it's unpainted, just to get an idea. But, I believe something like that's going to be so far from people being able to touch,
Scott Crotzer, I have a question. You weren't able to determine any ghost lines from previous corbels that were up there?
No.
The visual compatibility is off, is very apparent for something like this, but don't the corbels sometimes run all the way around in that case? In the case of the examples that you gave, and I noticed that the pattern is different between, it would be really awesome to know what the pattern was on this house. Not all the way around, but spaced out, I saw in one of your examples.
Are you referring to the spacing in the front?
Yeah, and if the other examples had corbels all the way around.
I know with the house on East Broad, it did not have corbels all the way around, just from some spying. I can't confirm for the others.
But Brian Woods, so it is planned to be spaced out based on where the rafters are, right?
It's going to be along the roof line.
Like lined up with where the rafters would
yes,
be?
Yes, yes.
So like 16 inches apart, something like that?
Well, in the front, we are planning for, I believe it's 1 foot, 5 inches. Hang on. 19 inches, and then at the end it'll be 1 foot, 5 1/8. And then on the return, 17 inches. Yeah. Or 19, hang on, my math is bad right now. There we are. 19.
Okay. Kathy Levina, I've got I'm concerned about the wholesale replacement of the siding. You sure. said that there is not any sheathing underneath that siding?
From just some basic discovery and what came back in the inspection report, we are concerned that it's not there probably for the majority of the building. We obviously haven't taken the siding off to confirm, but...
But your plan is to take the siding off, insulate... Put plywood back and then put the siding on top of the plywood?
Likely based on conversations with contractors, based on like what would be in line with the longevity of the building and preventing water damage and mold down the line.
Yep. So I guess my concern is, of course, the casings around the windows, all your other architectural details. If you add a layer of plywood, you're bumping everything out. And so you're going to have to replace all your casings, all your cornice line. I mean, you're going to have to bump everything out. I'm asking what your plan is.
I would have to consult with the contractor as to the construction method that they would likely want to follow for this particular installation.
And your siding is off the shelf, or is it a custom siding?
We'll likely go to somewhere local, like Gary, to see what they have.
Is it kiln drying? Kiln dried? I can't say it. Kiln dried. K-I-L-N dried.
We still have not specced it exactly. We were more concerned with the materiality for the sake of this meeting, but we need to move forward with further specking and ironing that piece out.
Thank you.
Yeah, we would like to keep it as in kind as possible in making sure that it's wood and that whatever finish that we apply in addition to the paint that is durable.
Courtney Bonney. Yeah, I had some of the same concerns about the construction methodology because generally these in-kind replacements, you're not changing the way that the things were put together. So I have similar concerns about adding additional layers of things and changing the profiles, and it's going to affect, again, how all of those windows are meeting things. So I think that probably with this petition, there needs to be a little more details provided on some of those things, as well as I would think a more thorough inspection of the corbels that maybe have existed in that building previously. So we have a better idea of, you know, are you adding a feature that had ever existed or had not. So I think it would be helpful if we had more documentation and more kind of to go on in terms of making a decision. Along with, I'd also love to see a sample of the material because it just seems like something that'd be good to explore a little further and get more information on it.
I think the with the corbels, our intention is to add them. We were not really given any notice, or there's not, it's not plainly observable that there was anything there. So the request, at least in spirit from our part, is to add this decorative element. So, I mean, we can look to see if there had been something before, but that's just full transparency. That's not really why we are asking for it. And as far as the sighting is concerned, duly noted.
Okay.
Kathy Ledvina, center on the subject, is it's a wonderful rehabilitation. It has great potential. Would the owners, you think, be agreeable to maybe stucco the concrete block on the front porch?
I can have that conversation.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from commission members? Okay, thank you. And at this time, we've got one member of the public. Ellie Ags is going to like to comment.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's ARC agrees with the staff recommendation of a continuance on this item. We have concerns over the proposed fill cell replacement methods that have already been touched on, as well as the proposed material for the corbels and the number of them that is being requested to be added. However, we do disagree with staff that allowing the corbels would create a false sense of history, since there's no proof, physical or archival, of them ever being a feature on the building and is therefore conjecture and should not be permitted.
Okay, thank you. At this time, we will close comments to public and have a board discussion. I guess we'll start with Courtney, if you've got anything.
No additional comments, really. I think continuing this item to have more information about both the construction methods as well as if there is any documentation showing the history of the building and the appropriateness of adding the corbels.
Kathy.
Kathy Ledvina, I agree.
Okay.
Scott Krotzer, I agree.
Brian Woods, I agree.
That's great. Can I hear a motion from someone?
Courtney Bonney, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of...
Continue.
Thank you. The petition of Joyette Jones Design, Joyette Jones 25-002813-COA at 628 to 630 West 32nd Street. As submitted and including additional information... an additional information about the siting methodologies.
Do a second.
Brian Woods, second.
Okay, great. Having a motion made and seconded, I'd like to go ahead and bring it to vote. Brian.
Brian Woods, I agree.
Scott.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy.
Kathy Ledvina, we're including the PVC, getting a sample of the PVC.
I think it was pretty
clear. If you want to keep what the staff recommendation says, including the date, and just add that, it's already there.
Yes.
So can we maybe restate
the motion? Well, I think in addition to the staff recommendation, we also need a condition including more details about the construction methodology for the replacement.
And I think there was a question on ghosting or any demarcation that can be found about where corbelling might have existed, since there's no photographs. in some way. Sometimes when you get up there, you can see it, or once that fascia is removed.
If somebody wants to amend the motion, they can add that in there as well, or...
Sorry, do you want me to just, we'll just start this one over because we got a little sideways on that one.
Okay.
All right. Okay, we'll start this one over. Courtney Bonney, I move that the Historic Preservation approve the petition of Joyette Jones Design. Continue the petition, of Joyette Jones, 25-002813-COA at 628 to 630 West 32nd Street, with the conditions that the applicant provide more detailed information regarding the construction methodology for the replacement, a sample of the corbels, and any photographic evidence of the existence of corbels in the path.
Brian Woods, a second.
Okay, motion made and second. Let's vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Crotzer, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Patrick, approve. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the petition of MBS Construction Services, LLC, Charles Smith, 25-002213, COA, 15 West 39th Street. New construction, small, parts 1 and 2.
Afternoon, this is Kelly Mitchell. Again, the applicant is requesting approval for new construction, small, parts 1 and 2 for a two-story infill and for a two-story accessory dwelling unit. As the board likely remembers, this was heard last month's meeting, but was continued to give the applicant more time to provide necessary information. This includes providing material, information, the lattice work, and the lighting, and redesigning the driveway. The applicant has since provided updated information. Also, as a reminder, this project does need a total of 3 variances. It is scheduled to be heard tomorrow at the ZBA meeting. So with that, overall, the design of the ADU and the primary building have not changed, but again, the applicant provided necessary information for review. With that, staff's not going to go over the entire project, just the things that needed to be addressed to begin with. So this includes the material information for the lattice work, which will be wood, the size of the muttons, which will be 5/8 of an inch, and redesign the driveway, which will be a ribbon strip now. The applicant also provided multiple lighting samples. We just asked that the final one be provided to staff. Staff also requested an updated section drawing because the section drawing that was provided says bedroom number 2, ADUs can only have 1 bedroom. This is likely just an error in the plans. So we are asking for that. The applicant did provide a floor plan this morning, but we still requesting the section drawing as well. So with that, staff's recommend approval for the request for new construction with the conditions that are shown on the screen. Does the board have any questions? And also the applicant here is here as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Can we have the applicant come forward? Please state your name.
Charles Smith.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Like Kelly said, I was just coming for those few things. The lattice we were doing was like a square. You know, it's not that they have an angled lattice they sell at Gary Lumber. It's a thin, kind of cheap looking product. We're using the thicker square lattice that I provided on there. And then also, the section drawing for the ADU, he just emailed it to me this morning and it was just a typo. He put a 2 instead of a 1. But other than that, I'll leave you to your questions.
Scott Crotzer, the designs I think, are visually compatible, and I applaud the fact that you're going to be owner occupied. It's a great infill project. The variances with so many of them, have you considered trying to work a little bit more within those variances? You know, they're items not to discourage you, but they're items when it comes to like fire safety, when it comes to neighborhoods, privacy, harmonious streetscapes. There's just a lot that has to be weighed in with those variances, why they exist. Can the architect not work more within those variances? I mean, those guidelines?
Yeah, We have done as much as we can to try to position it in a way, you know, to get it as far away from the house, but also we're working with the 3-foot setbacks on the back or on the side and the back. Currently, there's nothing behind us. It's just an empty lot. And behind that is large, you know, four to six unit townhomes or apartment buildings is what I mean. To go back to your other question about the firewalls, they required a 1-hour firewall on the right side of the ADU, also the back of the ADU, which is near the property lines. And then the house has a firewall all along the left side where it's within 3 feet of the property line, where it's at 3 feet of the property line.
Well, the concern is also between your main structure and the garage or additional. So fire suppression in some form would be great between the two of them if you can't increase the distance between the two, which I think is additional 5 feet when it comes to the ordinance. Am I right?
I believe it's 10 feet. We're short a couple feet. Or Kelly. Yeah.
Are we still 5 feet short or have we improved that?
Yeah, and it's still 5 foot per the ZBA. So they need 10 feet and they also technically need 20 feet on the rear because there's no lane in the back. So.
Any other comments from board members?
Kathy Levine, I've got some more questions for the applicant.
Yes.
On the left elevation, is the window transparency, what percentage is it?
I'm not sure, but that was the only place that we could add another window mm-hmm. was over the toilet in the master bathroom. We were going to try to add more in that landing, but it just wasn't possible because we already have the 3 windows there. And then also because it's a firewall, they don't want to allow us over a certain percentage of transparency there. So we originally, you know, we were trying to do the special exception with the 30% rule, but then they went back on that and said they'd rather have it at how it is now with the firewall. So at least that was from the city.
The ordinance states 30% and then the code states a maximum of 25%.
Yes, but there's
so the, well, maybe the compromise would be 25%. So I was just wondering if this is 25%.
I'm not sure. I'd have to ask my architect about the calculation, but there's just not another way to add another window without putting it inside of a closet, or a bathroom.
All right. Then, the gable fill.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that hardy plank panel?
Yes. It's just
panels, not siding.
It's hardy. It comes in hardy panels.
Yep.
So we put it up and then we do the board and batten strips. And then once it's painted, it just looks all like the rest of the siding.
All right. Back to Kelly. That's not an approved material, is it?
Straight panel isn't, but hardy we have approved. Not hardy.
But hardy panels.
The board and batten.
But hardy panels aren't.
No, just straight panels aren't.
Okay. Would the applicant mind looking into maybe doing a hardy plank vertical siding or a hardy plank, shingles, you know, a decorative shingles.
Yeah. Shingles. I wouldn't have a problem changing that. That's just how we always do it with the hardy. I mean, you could do it with plywood. It just looks nicer to do it with the hardy. And then once it's painted, I mean, it just looks.
I think the shingles would look nice.
Yeah.
In keeping with the historic character of the neighborhood. I think the shingles would be more appropriate, and since Hardy makes it already,
we can get the Hardy shake and right. paint them, and that would be fine.
Okay, and then we had talked about the shingle, asphalt shingles on the rain roof.
Yeah,
and changing that into a standing seam metal.
He should have made that on the plan. I forgot to tell him that, but the front porch roof and the one over the garage will be a standing seam metal.
Thank you. I believe that's all I have. Thank you.
Any other comments from board members?
Yeah, I think going back to the variances, I mean, it's not 1 or 2 feet here or there. These are substantial. I mean, going from a 15-foot to only a 3-foot setback, I mean, I know you mentioned there was a vacant lot behind it, but as again, as soon as somebody goes to infill, I mean, you just end up creating issues for future construction. So I'm still very uncomfortable with any recommendation that allows, I mean, because it's just, I still think there needs to be more explorations of how this could work without.
Kelly, what are the dimensions of the lot?
Give me 1 second to pull that up.
Well, and looking at this, I mean, even just rotating the carriage house 90 degrees, I mean, at least your meeting could potentially meet one of the variances. I don't know if the petitioner has any comments on that or.
We have not thought about changing the carriage house just because it would, if we turned it, it would, you know, we really wouldn't be able to put a garage. We could still put a garage door on it, but it really would be unusable at that point to put anything in it. And as far as the rear setback, we started this application in January, and a lot of the zoning variant they gave us, they actually almost passed our plan. I was here last time, and it had a gentleman, they actually built the entire property or did the entire house, and then they figured out they needed a COA. We went through almost the same thing. They almost passed us before I came here and applied for COA, almost passed us through zoning. And then, you know, they gave me the variances to apply. A couple weeks later, they'd call me back with different variances because they were wrong. So, you know, we've changed it multiple times. Even within the meetings, they didn't know what variances it was. The rear setback, to my knowledge from them, for an ADU in this area was supposed to be 5 feet. I didn't know, like Kelly said, that it was 20 feet, but when everything I was talking to them about, they said 5 feet, and so we were asking for the 3 feet.
And this lot is 33 feet wide?
It's 34, almost 30.
It's 35 by 75 feet.
Okay, thank you. And Kelly, what are the current, as they stand, front yard, side yard, and rear setbacks?
Let me pull up my staff report. They should be in there. So, this is the report. Put up our own report. This should be. So it looks like they may be able to have 5. I'm not sure, but the front and side do meet the standards. There we go. This side is 3 foot, and this is 10 foot on that side.
So really the only issue is the rear yard setback?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so it's, yeah, the distance between the two buildings, the rear, and then 70% front.
Okay, thank you. We have no public comments on this one. So we will close this to go into board discussion. I guess let's start with Brian. Do you have anything to say?
Brian was no comment.
Scott.
Scott Krotzer, the project is a great one, and it's too bad that there has to be so many variances in order to accomplish it. I think there should be really still concern with the variances, and obviously the zoning wants us to make our decision first. So that's my comment. If we could somehow, and I see the issues. I mean, I can read plans very well. So the three feet in the front is just it. That's where it's supposed to be. And the porch has to be that big. And I mean, those all can't be shifted at all.
And no, the front setback is fine as is.
Okay. Yeah.
Hi, Melanie Wilson, Executive Director and CEO. One of the things I want you all to remember is that you're just looking at the design. It has to go to BZA tomorrow, and they will make the determination with regards to those setbacks. So if the design—
Understood, but they did ask for our opinion, obviously, or they
would— That's fine. I just wanted to make sure that the audience and everybody understood that there's another meeting that will take place that will be the, you know, final recommending body for the setback.
Well, these two bodies keep kicking the can between each other. I really would love that not to happen.
Well, I don't disagree. I'm just letting you know, just so that the audience knows and the people that are in the community know what the process is. You've got multiple options with regards to how you proceed, but they definitely want to make sure that they understand what your thoughts are from design, whether you ask them to come in another 2 feet.
And I beg to differ. The zoning has a big deal to do with how it's designed, because how it designed and sits on the lot affects the safety, which we're a purview to, the community health, which we're a purview to, the rhythm, the harmony between these houses and the blocks, that is all part of the design in our purview. So to say that zoning isn't, it's that gray area again that we're sitting in.
Well, the other challenge too, guys, this is a small lot. It's 2,625 right. square feet. It's a challenge for anybody who want to do anything on this lot.
And that's why I'm mentioning it, Scott. I'm not saying that it's easy. I don't think anybody thinks it's easy. And you all have options with regards to how you want to proceed with looking at this. If you think there's too many variances, or you want the applicant to look at maybe something a little tad smaller but still fit within the, you know, the context of what he's trying to do, that's fine. You know, there are some challenges, and there are other options that you have to think about with regards to the vacant lot in the back. Those are things that the board will look at tomorrow. They very well could say, well, we're not going to do anything that where the next person coming along is not going to have some relief, because once you do one, you got to think also about what happens to that next person that comes in. You definitely have to think about all of that. And I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying that the emphasis is that they're looking for feedback and recommendations on, well, what do you think about the design? Are there things that can be made or that you would suggest that would still work with this? If you decide that you want to recommend approval, or if you decide that you don't want to recommend approval, that's up to you all. And they definitely listen to what you have to say about that. But just know that they have been very adamant about making sure that they consider what happens to those folks that come afterwards when they're really, really tight setbacks that people get relief on. And there are so many variances. They do look at that.
And so back to what Melanie just reiterated, Scott, what do you think about the design and proportionality?
I guess in that respect, it's too big.
How many square feet is the main house, Kelly? The first on a single floor plate.
About 1,800 square feet.
Per floor?
Per floor, I'm assuming, yeah.
Any other comments, Kathy?
Kathy Ledvina, I was quite intrigued about turning the ADU. I think that might be a real solution. However, if I'm looking at design, I would applaud the applicant if they did make those two changes with the hardy board shake shingle in both gables, as well as the standing seam roof over the rain roof on the carriage house. I'm up for the 25% window coverage if we have to comply. I think 25% fenestration, transparency, excuse me, on the left facade should be required. Even if it is just a window over the toilet, you could make a very nice window over that toilet. And I have concern with the variances.
But back to the carriage house you brought up, Kathy, it almost parallels the carriage house next to it.
You mean the orientation of the carriage house next to it?
Orientation, size.
But it's a different lot. It's a different setting.
It's a metal shed. It's not a carriage house. Okay. They've got a shed pushed up to the property line.
Yeah. It's a unique lot.
Courtney?
I have a lot. I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for the petitioner at this point. I understand it's probably been really frustrating going back and forth between boards. I think that the back and forth between the BZA and the HPC without any clear line of understanding of who approves what first keeps putting us in a position where we're in between a rock and a hard place because, the variances are one of those things where I feel very strongly that you need a variance approval to have an understanding of how to even design the property within the confines of the existing regulations. So, you know, as it stands now, I would be leaning towards continuing it until we get a firm decision from BZA as to whether or not they're going to approve any of these variances. If we were providing an official recommendation, I think the variances are too much and they need to look at how to get closer to the mark of some of those in terms of the design, scaling things back, moving the orientation. But again, this is one of those, it's just we're six of one, half a dozen of the other back and forth with this where the petitioner gets caught in the middle and we need some kind of clear guidance on what they need to be doing first. So, you know, I don't want to catch up one application in a broader conversation. So I would, for the sake of having some kind of motion and moving forward, I would think it needs to be continued until the BZA can make a decision on it.
Kelly, Melanie, what do you think about that?
Well, two things. One, I want to make sure you guys don't forget to give the public an opportunity to comment on this. But I think that one of the challenges that we all face is that we all know land is very hard to find. But on the other hand, I think that there are times when people want it all. They're creating their own hardship. I'm a pretty firm believer with regards to that. That's just my personal opinion. There are some things that can be done to lessen it. And, you know, those are personal decisions that they have to make with regards to dealing with this. You know, we look at it and I try to be as objective as we possibly can and look at, you know, the minimum requirements. But at the end of the day, you know, you've got two builds and the hardship is being created by the applicant. There's nothing to prevent the building from being a little bit smaller so that you can meet some of the setback requirements. And then if there's a request for variances, you might be asking for one or two versus the number of variances that are being asked. But, you know, those are decisions that the applicant, the architect, and others make. But just know and don't get caught up on the fact that this, you know, that this is an existing situation. It's not. It's one that's being created based on new construction. And when it comes to the board, it used to be that it didn't, just to give you a tad of history, because they wanted to just have an idea about whether there was any unique design characteristics that needed to be factored in if they were looking at variances. So that's why you get it first, to give you an idea of why the process is like it is. But I wanted to make sure you also understood in several of their minds they have a problem with a lot of variances. They have a problems. They've had problems with regards to not having enough room in the back for the next person, because it does become an equity issue. It's, you know, it shouldn't be about first come, first serve. It's about, you know, how much land do you have? There's also questions, although it's great that they've designed it with fire suppression walls, because 3 feet's not a lot. So if you've got fighting or somebody, you also have maintenance, decides they want to put a fence up, then you also have challenges with that. And trust me, we hear it all here at MPC in the historic division when people run into those situations. So that's just, you asked, I wanted to make sure you understood why, what the sequencing was, and that you that you all are reminded that these are new builds. So things can happen with regards to making it a little bit smaller to meet the requirements if you decide that that's going to be something that you suggest and still allow them to use the property. You're not taking away any use of the property. And they're still getting two buildings on a very small lot.
And in the design process for these applicants, these restrictions are apparent before they start designing, right?
Correct.
You know, we heard there's nobody listed as for public comment.
I don't know. I know that one person just came in a little late. Did you want to comment on this particular case? Who? Oh, she's filling out the person that wanted to comment is, I guess, filling out the card. But does that help you, Scott, with understanding the sequencing and what the premise was?
To both the applicant and to the commission.
Right.
Arguments that we shouldn't have.
And again, the other thing too that was happening at one point in time was that you all were making suggestions that they do stuff and the board was saying absolutely not. So that's why it was really important to get feedback from you all on the front end. So if there's any changes that are needed to be made, they've either got an opportunity to tweak it, you know, we go to the board tomorrow and let them know that you all made a recommendation that they do some tweaks to the design that might change the number of variances that they need. Those are types of things that we would report out by having you go first. But, you know, they did want to be very mindful about what your feedback might be based on impact on design that was proposed.
Thank you for the clarity. And I think, Scott Crotzer, that variances are more for like, oops, I messed up a foot, you know, or I need this one thing to work a little better with the design. But to come with this, it's almost like you put the cart before the horse and you're drawing before you look at what the specifications are for your lot.
Well, and the other thing too to remember, and I know that the case that occurred at the last meeting where the person, you know, there were some situations that happened with them getting issued a building permit. You know, technically that doesn't happen quite that often. That was just something that happened with somebody new. It's not the norm. Generally, somebody would catch it if somebody's doing that much construction without having a COA. But, you know, each case is to be reviewed independently. And again, variances are supposed to be used when you don't have, you know, any other option, but, you know, when you're looking at two builds versus one and not having use of property if it was a pre-existing lot to do one unit, that's why they exist. So if you've got any questions, let me know, but that's the.
Kelly, how many exact variances are we talking about, and what are they?
It's three total. Staff reported in.
I know we have the rear yard setback.
Yes. And from the ZBA, is actually a 15-foot rear, not 20. And that's coming from their staff report.
Okay, so it's the rear. Reducing the minimum building frontage to 58%. Okay. I don't know. Do we have any other further comments from other board members? The only thing I can say to this, guys, is, you know, this is a lot that's probably been vacant for a long time. It's a very challenging lot to build on. And yes, I realize there are three variances, but there's nothing egregious about those variances. And the question is, you know, we keep talking about wanting more affordability, more housing. This is how you get it, is by having projects like this move forward. I'm certainly not really offended by it. And if we approve this, I think it'll be up to the Board of Zoning Adjustments to decide if they agree with those variances. But we just have to make a decision. I think, you know, I'd hate to see this project go away and nothing be built there.
I have, could we speak with a petitioner again?
Hello.
Hi. Could you explain more the driveway? I mean, how integral is that to the project? Because if that disappears, you know, the building right next door is much wider. You could, the building could get shorter and you could have the carriage house and you wouldn't need any variances. So to me, the issue with this design is the driveway. So, I mean, if as a petitioner, that's something you're willing to give up, you eliminate all of the conversations and all the variances and things were happening and you could still meet all of your objectives. So for me, that's a pretty, it seems like a win-win as in far as design of something to give up and rework with. So if we're moving to make a vote, I'm going to recommend continuance with a design that removes the driveway to try and meet the variance is in the existing setbacks. So, you know, that's something I think I'd like to hear more about your willingness to approach.
I'd rather not, to be honest. And to go back to the point of all the variances, we weren't intending to have this many variances. Because, of course, the one thing that's confusing is the ADU setbacks versus the neighborhood setbacks of the actual house is which one, because they contradict each other, of which one would. But I know John probably put the correct thing on the ZBA. But as we were going through the variances this year since January, they nearly gave us our permit in January, which is why I have nearly $30,000 worth of windows at the lumber place that I can't pick up because we were waiting on this. But that was just a misunderstanding with them where they're almost going to release the permit without a COA and without the zoning, the correct zoning and the variances that we needed. But the driveway.
Is there a hardship tied to the driveway or it's just a preference?
It's a preference, but there's nearly no parking, nearly no street parking on that street at all. Because if you got the house on the corner, the other house, the house next to us also has a driveway that was the reason they're shifting our driveway over and why it's, you know, our apron and everything is because they did an illegal driveway cut. So we have to push ours over to compensate for that.
Can you go back to the site plan with the driveway?
Yes. Is it the site plan? Is it further down?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah,
sorry. Oh, that's okay. But I was, the other thing I was going to say is that as we were applying for the variances, they changed. So it didn't seem as bad at first, but you know, they would call us a month later, a few weeks later and add another variance or take away the variance that we said we needed in the first place. But, and as far as making the carriage house smaller, it's nearly as small as it can possibly be at the moment. If we go any smaller, it really, you know, wouldn't be livable as a studio. And that was kind of my plan with it, to make it a studio for SCAD. And, you know, it's a great area, Starland. And, you know, everybody's struggling to find houses and find things to rent now. So I just thought we originally wanted to do a duplex. Obviously the lot is not big enough for that. But we went with the house and the carriage house idea about a year and a half ago. I came in and spoke with, Edward Morrow, and we had a couple meetings, and then further this year is when I got involved with Kelly and everybody.
What's the square footage on the ADU?
It's, I believe it's around 400 square feet, but I don't think it surpasses that. I just got to see where he put it on here.
But with Courtney, your Scott Krautzer, your suggestion is to make the house chubbier and the carriage house to basically remain the same, but it would allow it to be moved forward or backwards, however, in the lot.
I could certainly understand the desire to have a driveway that goes straight to the carriage house. That's a nice selling feature. But again, I mean, I think that
the only thing I was saying
you have to make a decision on is the driveway more important than getting.
Well, my problem is
project move forward.
I can't redesign. I mean, I can. It's just a lot of money to redesign the house, especially with that we've already, you know, we already have all the windows and everything. The only reason we did that is because we were expecting to get the permit within a couple days in January and February when they told us, but everything flipped on its head. The girl that was head of the zoning, she passed the project, but then once it got to John and Ignost at the end, John had to stop everything and, you know, basically walk everything back to do it properly. So there's been a lot of confusion at the city, and it hasn't been just this project. It's been nearly every permit that we and other builders put in. I don't know. They've had a lot of staffing changes, and to be totally honest, it seems like they can't give us the correct information. So it's very difficult for us to do our job.
I mean, for the sake of moving this forward, I would think we would make a motion to continue. My thoughts are that the driveway needs to get removed so that you can meet the variances or the setbacks as written, because I think it can be done on this lot. So that's my thought on that.
Kathy
Levine, I agree, because the driveway prevents the 70% lot coverage on the front, and that's, you know, it's a missing tooth, if you would, in that streetscape.
Okay, at this point too, we've got a public speaker card that's been given to me. Why don't we hear what they have to say, and then we'll go into executive sessions and talk about it further. Is Victoria Covington here? Hello. If you could please state your name.
Excuse me?
If you could please state your name.
Oh, Victoria Covington. We're at the property that's next to Bushong Lands that's going to be building.
Okay. Are you, if you're facing the property, is it to the left or to the right?
We're to the left.
Okay.
The property. The one with the big yard and the, okay.
Ma'am.
The reason I'm here on that, and I think my sister said they was going to have another meeting tomorrow, but I have to go to work and I can't attend that meeting tomorrow. But I'm opposed to it because some of our feet of our property was taken away from us to make his a comfortable where he at. And that's what I'm opposed to. I don't like that when the surveyor shaved off our feet just to make his own. And we asked him, why did he do that? And he said he was going by as some kind of old stake that was buried underneath the ground. And I'm looking at him like, I don't see any old stake there. I grew up there. Before the houses got burnt, there was a 5 inches away from our house that's supposed to be our land. But when they presented that, they're going to build that, it was shaved off. And my question is, why did they do that? I grew up in that place. The house behind it was bought by my mom. And the one we're in now was bought by my mom. Now, the vacant lot back there is empty. And because they found out our back go back toward that part, and it's hard to build something. Now, the side of ours goes to the side, and it's hard to build something, and probably why they didn't do anything. But I'm just trying to figure out why did they shave it off more feet and said, and we got something about a stake and pipe from the surveyor that said that, you know, it's supposed to be shortened like that.
Well, more than likely, it probably was not actually changed. It might have just been at a time, you know, what you thought was yours wasn't actually legally part of the lot. They don't have the ability to just move those lots arbitrarily. So this lot size and your lot size would have been platted a long time ago, and they would have been what they are.
But it is a lawsuit in the making if you explore it.
Well, that's another question, too. Do you have a survey?
No, I mean, I was going by what the clerk gave us, the drawing, what the clerk gave us.
Do you have a survey? That's how, do you have a survey of your property?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of older, but that's what she said it was. And we can bring that tomorrow, you know, to the meeting.
That'd probably be a very good thing to do. So your survey shows that you have an extra 5 feet of land? That currently this is shown as his property?
Yeah.
That's very interesting. Director, do you have any comments on that?
I think, in lieu of all of this, I think that the recommendation of Ms. Bonney makes a lot of sense so that some of these issues can be resolved. We can postpone this item or from tomorrow's meeting with the BZA just to kind of let them know that there's some discrepancy with regards to the boundaries. I'm sure that she either has a plat or a deed because depending on when this was done, people did a lot of meets and bounds descriptions, you know, depending on when your lot was created. But if you've got proof or that verification, it needs to be vetted. And I'm sure that's what they would do too. So you've got I don't know if you made a motion or not, but if
I think we're getting ready to have one. I think in light of everything, we definitely need to continue this item.
Yeah.
And then if we can ask staff to
sure.
If we can ask staff to get with Ms. Covington and see what she's got in regards to
we will, and if it's continued, what we will need to do is find out about, like, if we continue this for 30 days, because you need to have a date certain that the meeting tomorrow for the BZA would be continued for 30 days. So it all stays in the same cycle.
All right, so let's continue this to July 23rd. If
you're there, you go.
Somebody want to make a recommendation?
Is that just for the redesign to fit within the variances?
It could be for all of it.
Continued, I think, the whole thing.
Okay.
And it will allow them to do all of the things that you all have at least suggested or at least pursue looking into whether it can be done or not.
Motion to continue for the July, what's the date? I'm so sorry.
It is July the 23rd.
July 23rd meeting for petition of MBS Construction Services, LLC, Charles Smith, 25-002213-COA, 15 West 39th Street, new construction, small parts 1 and 2.
Brian was a second.
Okay, having a motion and properly seconded, let's go to a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Kreutzer, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Dunford, approve. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is the petition of Dean Architecture and Designs, LLC, Fred Dean, 25-002217-COA for 423 West 42nd Street addition and after the fact rehabilitation alterations.
Afternoon, this is Kelly again. So again, the applicant is requesting approval to construct a rear addition and for rehabilitation alteration work, as well as for after the fact approval for work done without a COA at 423 West 42nd Street. As you all know, this project was heard last month, but was continued to address concerns raised by both board and staff. Since that meeting, the plans for this property have changed. With regards to the after-the-fact work, the applicant is now willing to reconstruct the chimneys that were demolished without a COA. Based on the information that was provided, staff finds that this work is compatible. The applicant is not proposing to correct the work that was done to the first floor of the front facade. As previously discussed at the last meeting,
The previous front door and window were removed and a new wider door was installed. Such work is not visually compatible as its design is not seen historically or in the neighborhood. Staff recommends that this portion of the front facade be redesigned to something that is more visually compatible. There's also no proposed changes to the rear roof form of the primary building. Again, this roof form was changed. This was previously a shed roof. Since the previous main staff has determined that it is best that the work be retained, the integrity of this portion of the building has already been negatively impacted and would require extensive work to recreate. Recreating the previous wood roof form would also require that new materials be used instead of reinstalling the stored fabric. Also, reverting back to the previous roof form may create something that was not historic in nature, as we don't know when that roof form was changed from the cadastral survey in the 30s. So with that, the applicant has made some changes to the proposed rear addition. So the addition now kind of wraps this historic corner as well. The applicant is also proposing this side porch and this kind of pergola parking element. While most of the work meets the standards, staff does have some comments and concerns. The first is how this wall right here, how close it is to this window opening. So staff does recommend that this be pulled off to some degree because you would not have seen such an element historically. The second thing that was addressed by the applicant was the driveway. The applicant redesigned it to be a ribbon strip, or at least a portion that will be visible. So that standard is met. Staff is still requesting that they meet with traffic engineering because they may have some concerns about the driveway itself. While not part of the project, there are some concerns about the solar panels. So solar panels is part of this project and will be heard next. But what is approved with this work will impact what can be done with the solar panels. So we are asking the applicant to work with the solar people once this is approved to get that design figured out. And there are also just some kind of details that need to be flushed out that includes the sides of the proposed muttons of the windows, the height of the handrails, and the proposed roof and the side porch. It's just some small stuff. So with that, staff does recommend a continuance of this project to give the applicant time to address all the conditions that you see on the screen. Again, the solar is separate from this. I will talk about that when we get to that project. But there is a condition about working with the solar people. So with that, the board have any questions?
Thank you. Any questions from board members? Okay, let's hear from the petitioner, please.
Hi, my name is Fred Dean. I'm with Dean Architecture and Design. I'm the architect for the project. So the original permit was applied for was for interior work only. Once that work was underway, extensive water damage was discovered at the connection of the rear addition, which affected the interiors, the roof, especially in the second floor. So and then also the ceiling height of the existing addition was very low and below the zoning 9-foot restriction requirement, and also the even the building code at 7 feet was below that. So the owner proceeded with extensive repair without realizing, the need for revising the permit for this work. The repair of the rear of the roof was done in kind to match the front of the main roof structure. The drawings show maintaining the after-the-fact roof form at the rear of the building that continues the existing shape of the main body of the roof. This work was done, again, to bring the second-story ceiling to a usable height, meeting current code standards of 9 feet, and improving the construction of the building to prevent further and future water damage. The new rear addition emulates the historical rear addition and returns the roof shape to the original hip pyramidal shape as shown in the historical drawings. We maintain that this design addresses connecting the rear portion of the building, correcting, the rear portion of the building. So then also sort of addressing the front door. The house is located in a commercial zone, TC1, where commercial buildings utilize main doors with different styles. While this is not a store, the owner would like to take advantage of alternatives allowed in commercial districts. We've talked to the traffic engineering department. I don't think the driveway or the curb cut will work out. There's only 30 feet width here, and we need 32 feet to do 20 feet from the corner and 12-foot curb cut. So we're looking into alternatives for parking the car. And these staff recommendations, except for the front door, which the owner will speak for, we don't have any problem with doing all that stuff.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any questions from board members?
I have a question. Scott Krotzer, so you're insinuating that the rear addition wasn't a porch?
It was not, no, it was enclosed. When he bought the property, it was enclosed.
Yeah, but originally a porch.
Apparently, historically, yes.
Yeah. So the porch would not historically have had the same roof line.
Would have not had the same.
It wouldn't have been a pyramidal roof that extended over the porch.
In the historical documents, I see a pyramidal hip roof.
Can I have staff comment on that, please?
Let me. I think I know what he's talking about. Let me pull it up real quick.
Scott Krotzer, because traditionally these were sleeping porches.
Yeah, so if you look at the cadastral, this is that rear portion. So it's showing some form of hip, looks like. But, of course, we don't know if this was even with the main house or if it was lower. I mean, it reads as lower in the drawings, but we can't confirm between photos or anything.
Well, historically, that's how they were built, lower than the main house form.
So
because right now that center ridge runs all the way back to the back of the house, correct? And we're giving a false sense of what the house shape was originally.
Well, I would maintain that by with the addition that we're putting on, we're restoring that shape. And that the main form of the roof, the main roof, is basically kept intact. It's just that the house got longer, basically.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions from board members for the applicant? Okay, thank you very much. At this time, we have one
Actually, could the owner speak?
Sure, of course.
Hi, my name is James Housley. Once again, like Mr. Dean did state, when I bought the house, the exit of the house was not an open face of the property. It seems as though that possibly that the prior owner had closed it in, possibly not permitted, but as I bought it, it was closed in with the windows and with the siding on the backside. The hip, like I say, when I bought it, the whole back entrance of the house were exposed, you know, and to the point where water, you know, the prior family that was living in there, an older person that was living in there, they had to move her out because, like, you know, the house had become so badly damaged with water damage. But what I did was to meet the zoning standard, the 9 feet from the per the zone from the second floor till the ceiling has to be 9 feet. And so that's all I did when I put the roof on to make sure that between the floor to the height of the ceiling were 9 feet to meet the current zoning standard.
So Scott Krotzer, so your intention was to follow the zoning standard but not the COA standard?
Well, and I did out of ignorance, you know, because I said, at the time.
To, okay.
Yeah, at the time when I did the roof, and I had to know that I did have to come and to get this year, I definitely would have came. But the to secure this property in, you know, to for further damages and cause, I put the roof on. And that's all I did. And I like I said before, in my last minute, I do apologize, but it was just out of ignorance. I did not know that I had to come before and get ACOA. And even since then, since the last meeting, I have completely stopped my work, meaning that possibility of losing contract is because I stopped everything to make sure that I get the proper COA to even continue. So this is not something that, you know, I'm just going on. Once I found out that things were done wrong, I stopped the job.
Thank you. Do we have any questions, petitioner? All right. Now at this time, I'd like to call Ellie Isaacs up to make comments.
Ellie Isaacs, Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's ARC maintains an agreement with staff's recommendation for a continuance. We reiterate our previous concerns over visual compatibility in terms of the front facade's masonry, window and door openings, proposed design for the front porch, as well as the compatibility of the east additions, which are the shed roof that comes off of the rear addition, the side porch, and the carport.
Thank you. Let's see into public comment. This one will go into board discussions. Start with Brian.
Brian Woods, no first comment.
Scott Krotzer, the doorway needs to be changed back to what it would have been historically. And while I don't, we shouldn't propose things that waste materials, the rear addition or what was the porch, there seems to be a big problem with visual compatibility.
Kathy.
Kathy Levina, I agree about the redesign of the rear addition. My concern is that addition does not sit, have a setback within the existing planes or elevations of the historic home. I think the redesign that shows the jut out of a couple of feet, you can't push that back. It needs to be eliminated, and you should, it should not extend forward of the left elevation.
Thank you, Courtney.
Courtney, Bonnie, I agree with the staff recommendations on this application.
Okay, do I have a motion someone like to propose?
Scott Krotzer, are we suggesting the roof line can stay as it is now?
No.
Because the staff recommendations approve not changing the current roof line.
Did you see it in the drawings? The new drawings?
Yeah, but that is the addition to the addition.
The addition to the addition, okay.
So, like, the house is not that long. The addition with the smaller window and no window above, that's where the sleeping porches used to be. They extended the gate, the hip all the way back. So the differentiation in height should start above that smaller window there.
I understand that. They do have, I believe that there's, I'm not saying it's right.
Right.
I'm saying it's built. They do have a demarcation in the siding right here. That it's, I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, if with the trained eye is never going to see it, but the untrained eye is never going to see it. But it's built, and my concern, my greater concern, of course, is the addition, and that front door.
Okay. Could there be some rhythm in windows of where that sleeping porch used to be above then? I mean, to me, we're approving a form that never existed in history. And I understand its materiality, but maybe there's some more that can be done than to signify what that addition was with the mirror window from below or a window that mocks the second floor windows to give some symmetry and not such a big, I don't know, void in the back. And okay. After the fact, COA is what I'm having the issue, what the issue is.
I think the continuance is appropriate, and I think we can make that recommendation.
Let's do that. Okay. Someone want to make a motion?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
About design?
Yes, sure.
So that window you're talking about below is obviously added at some point. I mean, not part of the original tall sort of slender windows in the front of the house. So if we replace those windows and added the windows above in that style, would that be looked upon favorably?
Scott Crosser, that was my suggestion in trying to delineate the what would have been the old sleeping porch.
And potentially more demarcation between the addition and where that...
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
But I'm also talking about changing those lower windows.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it sounds like then a continuance would be appropriate. Till the July 23rd meeting. Would somebody like to?
I'll try. Scott Crotzer, I motion to continue petition of Dean Architect and Design LLC, Fred Dean, 25-002217 COA 423 West 42nd Street to the July 23rd meeting with the conditions outlined by staff, including the change or submission of solutions to return the first floor front facade, and secondly, to demarcate the rear sleeping patio, or what used to be the rear sleeping patio, more between the siding transitions and to match the rhythm of windows on the second and first floor, both in scale and lights.
Three, the setback of the addition.
Oh, yeah. And the addition needs to be, I think the setback of the addition and the proportions are also discussed by staff, but for sure.
Do I have a second?
Courtney Bonney, second.
Okay. Having a motion seconded, let's go to a vote. We'll start with Brian.
Brian was approved.
Scott Crotzer, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Patrick, approve. Motion carries. Let's go on to the petition of Solar Energy Partners, Jared Wells, 25-002787 COA, 423 West 42nd Street, solar panels.
This is Kelly again, so you should be very familiar with this property at this point. So they are requesting solar panels at 423 West 42nd Street. So this was the update design that was provided to staff after talking with the applicant. So we have the addition that was seen on the last set of plans, and then this section right here, which is not being proposed. So staff is recommending a continuance in this case because the plans are clearly inaccurate and we cannot prove something where the plans are not correct. Also, the approval of the solar panels is heavily contingent on the approval of the addition in the previous project. So staff is also recommending continuance to allow that project to get flushed out so the solar can be determined once getting that's all figured out. So with that, staff does request continuance to give the applicant time to provide drawings that accurately depict the addition and the building as is and what's being proposed.
Okay, and the applicant's here.
They are online, I believe.
Hello? Are they here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's about to pull them up. Sit down. I've been talking with Stephen. That's...
What's the full name of Stephen?
I'm not sure what his last name is.
Good afternoon. This is Stefan. I'm with Solar Energy Partners. I'm here on behalf of the company. We are aware of the current stage of the application and that the plans need some adjustments, but I just, you know, wanted to participate in the meeting, and if you have any questions in regards to them, just please let me know.
Yeah, are you open to a continuance so that we can flesh out the details that seem to be missing on this application?
Well, yes, we are going to coordinate with Mr. Housie and his architect, Mr. Fred, and we'll provide you with the accurate plan set. But if you have any question in regards to the panels itself, their visibility from the street, and all this stuff, just let me know, please.
Thank you. We don't have any public comment cards. I would think that we probably should go ahead and continue this, and then we can address all the other issues next month. Do I have a motion?
Kathy Levina, I move that we continue the project of 423 West 42nd Street, 25-002217-COA, Solar Energy Partners, Jared Wells Solar Panels, to July 23rd, according to staff recommendations.
Brian Woods, a second.
Great. Having a motion tendered and seconded, I'd like to call for a vote. We'll start with Brian.
Brian Woods, approved.
Scott.
Scott Kratzer, approved.
Kathy Levina, approved.
Courtney Bonney, approved.
Jeff Federica, approved. Motion carries. Now we're on to the petition of Ward Architects and Preservation, Josh Ward, 25-002767COA for 2026 Haversham Street. Addition.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant is requesting approval for the construction of a one-story addition to the recently completed building at 2026 Haversham Street. The work also includes minor alterations to Building C, which is this building. It's one of the three in the development approved in 2019 to accommodate the addition. So just a quick look through. These buildings were newly constructed, non-contributing resources. This is the site here. This is current building conditions. This is the empty lot area where the proposed construction will be. And just some photos of the neighborhood context. Here's the proposed site plan. So where we see buildings A through C that are the existing ones, and this would be the proposed addition right here. And the existing floor plan for that building C, and then the proposed floor plan with the addition. Roof plan. So these are some elevations showing what exists and then what's proposed with the inclusion of that addition on there. Door and window schedule, and there'll be a door repurposed from the building when it connects to the addition there. Sight lines, just another elevation. And here is also some perspectives. Staff found that this project is visually compatible and meets the standards. Did not see any issues with this small addition on this building. So recommends approval for the request of the construction of a one-story addition to the recently completed building at 2026 Haversham Street, including modifications of Building C as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board for Caitlin? Okay, hearing none, is the petitioner here? Please state your name.
Yes, hello, my name is Josh Ward with Ward Architects and Preservation. First, let me thank staff for their review of this project and their comments. And second, let me acknowledge that this is the submittal is a little bit peculiar in that it's an addition on basically a recently completed building. Did want to provide just a little background on the design intent for the addition. The height and mass is really a derivative of the site itself and the use. The addition is only one story because it's only going to be used for the first floor tenant. And the strange or the triangular shape that you see in the plan is because of the corner of the lot. It's odd shaped. A little bit on the materials we selected. The board and batten proposed for the exterior really was an effort by us to sort of acknowledge the residential neighbors close to the site and to create sort of a lighter, a more residential material as opposed to the masonry of the existing newly completed buildings. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you all might have.
Do we have any questions from board members? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Josh. We've got one public comment card from Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSS ARC would like to recommend some conditions to be part of this approval. Given its prominent corner location, we had hoped that the addition would be more complementary to the existing building to appear to have been constructed at the same time, considering the building just recently was finished, right? Was just recently finished. And given that it's on a corner lot. Visual compatibility concerns included scale of the openings, desire to have a more articulated cornice, and a more complementary exterior material.
Okay, thank you. Okay, having no more public comments, we're going to go ahead and close this to public comment and go into board discussion. Let's start with Brian.
Brian Woods, no comment.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff.
Kathy.
Kathy Levina, I find this the three buildings to be extremely well designed and executed as far as multifamily buildings go in Savannah. I would like to see the addition set back at least 2 feet away from that prominent corner entrance. I believe the addition detracts from that corner entrance detail, and the L that's proposed just doesn't do it.
Courtney?
I think, yeah, I agree with Kathy a little bit on just kind of trying to maintain that one corner a tad more. And, I mean, I appreciate trying to articulate the addition from the existing building. But I might like to see alterations where it is a bit more in sync with that. So if that means that it's stucco and then the built windows are a little more done, but yeah, just maybe a tad more integration between the two. But otherwise, I think it's a great design.
The petitioner, would you like to comment about that?
This is Josh Ward with Ward Architecture again. So Ms. Levine, you're saying push the most southern facade back. Is that what you're proposing or recommending?
Right.
Okay. Something we could explore for sure. You know, we were trying to maximize the square footage based on the existing courtyard, but there might be some opportunity to push that back a little bit. Just need to study a little bit more, but I'm not opposed to that. And as far as you're saying the integration of the materials, so is it the board and batten that's?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I like that you have portions that it looks like it's, you know, the building is growing over time. So I think that's great. But yeah, maybe something just to bring them together a little bit more, maybe even awnings or some other features to tie them together a bit more.
Yeah, I think awnings could work. And about the windows too, that's been commented on. We did try to tie those in. Those are the same size of the openings you see on building C as well. So there's some effort to make the addition, you know, speak to what's already happening with building C. But again, the material choice was mainly sort of make it feel lighter and again, tie it more to the residential architecture that you see around there. So those are again why we made some of those decisions.
Okay. So what do I like to do? Someone like to make a motion?
Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the following petition of 2026 Habersham Street 25-002767-COA Ward Architecture and Preservation, Josh Ward Edition, with the following condition. One, work with staff. I mean, do you think we can do that, right? Work with staff to create additional setback of the building from that prominent corner entrance. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Great. Having a motion properly tendered and second, let's go to vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Nashbeek, approve. Motion carries. Next, we are up to the petition of J. Elder Studio, LLC, Jerome Elder, 25-002216-COA, 208 West 37th Street, amendment to 23-003053COA.
Afternoon, this is Kelly again. So again, the applicant has requested an amendment to a previously approved COA. The images that you see on my left are what was previously approved. The images you see on the right is what's currently being proposed. The overall footprint is not changing in this case. It's just a matter of changing the design from one design to another. Overall, the work meets the standards, but there's some information that needs to be provided by the applicant. The first is whether or not the shutters that you see on the addition, previous addition, and on the main house are currently installed or not. They're shown on the previous submission, but not on the current one. The second is the applicant will need to confirm the pitch of the roof, the portion being altered. So this portion, elevation shown it as for a pitched roof. But if you look at the actual pitch on the plan, it says 112, which is pretty much a flat roof. So the applicant should provide accurate information on that pitch. Third is the applicant should confirm the type of windows that you see right here and right here. They appear to be casement, but we just need confirmation on what those are. And then there are a couple other small details that need to be provided, such as confirming the roof material, as well as the size of the muttons on the windows. So with that, staff does recommend approval of this project with the conditions that you see on the screen. Does the board have any questions?
I have a question about the chimneys. Can you tell us the story?
Yeah, so staff did see that as well the last time we were looking at it. After we did some more digging, we found a photo. So let me pull that photo up. I did not put it in my presentation. We found this photo on Sages, taken early 2020. So it appeared that obviously the roof, something happened with it. This was probably pre-overlay, so staff is recommending that they don't have to be reconstructed because they were likely demolished in this situation right here, and that was likely under a previous owner as well.
So I see chimneys, right? Don't I? Right here in the rear too?
Yeah, unfortunately we can't.
That's not a chimney top?
So we just can't tell how far that goes up. Maybe it partially collapsed. We don't know. But if the board feels so inclined, they can be reconstructed. But staff feel like they didn't need to be in this case.
Thank you.
Any other comments from board members? Okay.
Does the petitioner have any information on that?
Well, I was going to ask that, yes. Oh. Is the petitioner here? Would they like to speak?
Good afternoon, everyone. Jerome Elder from J. Elder Studio. I want to thank the staff and also HSF Savannah because this is one of the properties that they do have an easement on. It was one of their revolving fund properties. And it has since been through, I think this is the fourth owner of which I have had two of, well, the most recent two. Unfortunately, the prior owner, the building went into foreclosure and it was bid out in a bank auction. Fortunately, the newest owner, they did reach out to my team because they saw my name on the permit documents. And that's when we informed them of all the information and they just wanted to make sure they went through the right process to complete the project. The reason why that occurred is the previous owner did a lot of work that was not exactly in keeping with what was on that previous approval. And to address, Kathy, many of your questions, the chimneys had partially collapsed, you're correct. And can I get to my submission? The previous owner did build an entirely new roof and the roof has been there. The material on the roof is shingle. Oh, you're looking for it. So they've already completed a new roof. This is how the building has stood since it was purchased post the bank auction. This newest owner has not done any work to it, but they do have to do a lot of structural work. The interior second floor, whatever they did as work, they didn't attach the beams to any of the walls. It's a complete mess on the interior. And so all those existing chimneys are no longer existing, except for remnants within some of the spaces. So the stacks that go through the roof, they're not there. If you go into the attic, there's just an attic floor, open framing. So that's why after working with the HSF, we determined that trying to get them, the new owners, to add back in these chimneys would be beyond a fair measure, considering what they were given as a bank auction. And that also comes into the what you'd see for any of the additional changes to the rear. You can see that some of it is slightly different from what was previously approved. So we just tried our best, but the existing roof is there and the material is shingle. We do not plan on doing any changes to this roof line. The only thing that we'll be doing is ensuring that we bring in the shingles. So I'll go to my packet. Oh, wait, it's here. We'll be bringing back in these details, restoring the porch. And then, as you know, for the windows, these are going to be casement windows. And this one here is just a wood picture window, but this will be a casement on either side. And I will make sure that I update that with staff. The current owner is hoping that we do get approval soon because the building is structure is questionable at best. And they really want to be able to move forward with getting it into permitting, which, as you know, would require us getting the COA to continue moving this project forward. I hope I answered the questions, but if you have any others, please let me know. I'm here to answer any more.
Any questions from board members? Thank you, Jerome. I have one public comment card from Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Obviously, we're in full support of this project as it's being presented today. As Jerome already stated, just a little background on the house. It was saved from a fire. Repurpose came in and salvaged some material, help us clean it up. And it was saved by HSF in 2018. And as Jerome also said, it's now unfortunately on its fourth owner. The most recent owner, we had a lot of issues with, because he did not clearly do some work that had been previously approved and agreed upon. He was very unresponsive. Obviously it ended in a foreclosure and the new owner, when they purchased the property, had no idea there was even an easement on it because it was improperly, advertised. So this has been a super fun project, in my last year and a half at HSF. So we are moving forward with this new super motivated owner and we are hoping to get y'all's full approval today.
Thank you very much.
And I can answer any other questions that you might have as well.
Kathy Levine, were the chimneys there?
No, he took them out.
The previous owner.
Yes, the previous owner took them out when he redid the roof.
Scott Kratzer just says support that they were partially collapsed as well.
They were partially collapsed, yes. Yeah, so they took them down and then when they redid the roof. And then as Jerome stated, the second floor, we found out most recently that the second floor is not tied into the exterior walls and the roof is also not tied into the exterior walls. So it's been a really fun journey. Did I say that already? So. Yep.
Thank you. Okay, this time I'd like to close the this to a board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Brian. Do you have any comments?
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendation.
Scott Kratzer, I applaud this application and I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy?
I agree with staff, but would love to see the chimneys reconstructed.
Courtney?
Courtney Bonney, agree with staff.
All right, can I get a motion?
Scott Kratzer, I approve, or I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of J. Elder Studio, LLC, Jerome Elder, Amendment to 23-003053-COA, with the staff recommendations 1-5.
Brian Woods, second.
Great. Having a motion tendered and second, I'd like to get a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods approve.
Scott Kratzer approve.
Kathy Libana approve.
Courtney Bonney approve.
So approve. Motion carries. Now we're on to the petition of Hanson Architects, Eric Puljung, 25-002801COA, 207 West 31st Street, contributing demolition, new construction, small, Parts 1 and 2, Special Exception Request.
So afternoon again, this is Kelly. So again, the applicant is requesting approval to demolish contributing building and approval for new construction small Parts 1 and 2 and for two Special Exceptions Request at the property located at 207 West 31st Street. So first, let's look at the demo of this property. The building was constructed in 1906 and was first listed in the 1906 city directly beside the name C.B. Smith. Based on the city directories, the home had multiple property owners, to include William and Maddie McCarthy. William was likely a cement worker. Bishop and S.C. Kelly, the bishop, was likely worked for the Church of God, and Fred Stafford, who worked for a wrecking company. Overall, the structure has retained much of its original footprint, though a rear addition was constructed sometime between 1966 and 2009. Three condition assessments were provided that described the building's poor condition. Among the issues listed was extensive termite wire damage, soft framing, and a slight lean to one direction. The assessments also described the feasibility of rehabilitation, they described safety risk of rehab, the financial viability, and the amount of stored material that would remain after rehab were completed. Based on the information that was provided, staff finds the criteria for demolition was met. Staff recommends two conditions. One is the salvage of any stored material that may remain. The second is to document the building per the City of Savannah's demolition policy. With that, for the new construction, the applicant is requesting to construct a 1.5-story structure. They did provide some context in their drawings. The majority of the immediate context is 1-story structures as well as 2-story structures. Applicants also requesting 2 special exception requests. The first is for the front porch depth. They're requesting that it be 3'11", minimum 6 feet per the ordinance. Staff finds that in this case, the shower depth can be appropriate given that the immediate context has a variety of porch types, some of which are shower. The applicant should reach out to development services, however, for the front porch. Per the zoning ordinance, unenclosed porches with a roof may project no more than 8 feet into the required front setback, provided that such projection is at least 3 feet from the property line. That the front porch as proposed is on the property line, so they may need a variance for this. The applicant is also requesting a special exception from the transparency standard for the front facade. Currently, it's at 27%. Staff does find that the transparency is appropriate in this case, and requiring them to have something that's larger, more windows, maybe out of context for this district. Overall, the remainder of the project meets the standards, or there are 2 errors that still need to be addressed. The first part is
simple. They need to confirm that the trash refuge be properly screened. Second is that the applicant will need to apply for a variance for the eaves, as the zoning ordinance states. Eave or roof overhangs and awnings may project up to 2 feet, provided that such extension is at least 3 feet from the property line. The exterior walls are 3 feet from the property line, so the eaves encroach, so they will need a variance from that as well. With that, it's a very long recommendation. Staff does approve the demolition of the contributed building at 207 West 31st with conditions that materials be salvaged and that be documented. Approve the new construction small parts 1 and 2 with the conditions to apply for the variance for the eaves and for the front porch if required, and confirm that the refuge is properly screened. And approve the request for the 2 special exception requests again for the front porch and for the transparency of the front facade. With that, does the board have any questions?
Any questions, board members? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon, Eric Poljung with Hanson Architects. Thank you for hearing this. We're happy to present our proposed new construction and speak to any questions you have on our approach. This is a project we were asked to be involved with by the new owner. Originally, we started looking at this as what are our options for this property, and that's when we discovered what really terrible condition it was in. We had, as was reported, 2 different contractors come through, as well as Cody Tharp with Tharp Engineering to review the building. And we just realized there just isn't a good feasible path forward for getting this building to be saved. With the amount of material that's really damaged and destroyed in the home. It's unfortunate, but that is the case. We do also, just so you know, Cody Tharp is on the phone with a limited amount of time for access. I wanted to share that, but he is on the phone. And I wanted to speak to our approach for the new design was that we wanted to still keep the streetscape at the street level, in keeping with what we have here for this original home, with the windows on each side of the front door, and we followed the same footprint for the porch with the same side entry stairs. So I know the requirements are different now for new construction, but we wanted to work with the footprint that we already had for that porch and with those setbacks. Obviously, getting a little bit more space in a new design is something that was desired. So we did work with the 1.5-story design approach, and that was an effort not to be too big within the midst of other one-story houses, although the street is a combination of 2-story and 1-story homes. So that, and the different things that we have to work with our variances, we're prepared to do that.
Thank you, staff. Do any questions come from the board? Okay, hearing none. We have one public commenter, Ellie Isaacs.
Kelly Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. HSF's IRC greatly dislikes seeing a contributing building within any district be demolished. However, given the multitude of evidence provided, we understand the staff's recommendation and appreciate their conditions on the approval. In regard to the proposed new construction, we would like to recommend a continuance in order for the design to be amended to be more visually compatible and better meet the standards. We greatly appreciate the alignment and the 1 special exception request for the front porch depth. However, the scale and in-between height represent a hybrid typology of 1 and 2 stories, as already mentioned, is surrounding us on this block. And we would prefer the design to be one or the other, since both are found on this block. As a reference, historic Grafton-style building designs and footprints often appear small at the street frontage, but are larger in the rear, and we think that would be a more effective and compatible here than what it's being presented.
Okay, thank you. At this time, public comment's going to be closed. We're going to go into board discussion. Let's start with Brian.
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendations.
Scott Krotzer, while it's always a shame to lose something like this, I think that the material salvage is very important, being that this is old growth lumber. There's probably some really valuable lumber inside, so I hope the stipulation, while it's not required to deconstruct, is followed.
Kathy.
Kathy Levina, I disagree with the demolition of a contributing building. I think this property can be salvaged. I've seen worse properties saved and rehabilitated. It's a one-story building. We're not talking a superstructure. I think it could be easily eaten. Nothing's easy, but I think it could be saved, period.
Courtney.
Courtney Bonney, I agree with staff recommendations.
Okay, thank you. Do I have a motion?
Scott Krotzer, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of 207 West 31st Street 25-002801-COA with the conditions listed 1 and 2 regarding sustainable deconstruction and documenting the structure, small parts 1 and 2, including conditions 1 through 3, and approve the special exemption request from the standards that read significantly detached single family attached to family attached dwellings, a front porch a minimum of 6 feet in depth shall be required over a minimum of 50% of the front facade to allow that the front porch that is 3 feet 11 inches deep.
Okay, do I have a second?
Courtney Bonney, second.
Okay.
Both special exceptions or just the one? This is also the one.
Oh, I'm sorry, both special exceptions, yeah.
Okay, great. Having a motion properly tendered and seconded, I'd like to go to a vote. Brian?
All right, Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Kathy Levina, deny.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Nantrika, approve. Motion carries. Now we're on to the petition of Ethos Preservation, Rebecca Fenwick, 25-002806-COA, 101 East 35th Street, non-contributing demolition and alterations.
Good afternoon. This is Kelly and my final project for the day. So the applicant is requesting approval of rehabilitation and alteration work, as well as the demolition of a non-contributing one-story carport and a one-story lean-to shed on a carriage house at 101 East 35th Street. So with regards to the demolition, staff did apply the demolition standards to this carport. There's little known information about it. There is something shown on the 1966 Sanborn in the same location as this, but we cannot confirm that that was the same structure that you see today. And that was kind of the only information that we could find. So staff finds that it meets none of the criteria to be listed as contributing, given that it has no architectural significance, does not have connections to historic events or people, and is likely not to reveal significant information in our history. The applicant is also proposing to remove this kind of lean-to element. It's attached to a two-story carport that's listed as non-contributing in the building map. This was installed sometime after 1966 when the last Sanborn was created. Again, staff finds that it is appropriate to demo it because it's non-contributing. Also, all the CMU that you see on the fence is also proposed to be taken away, which staff found to meet the standards as well. So other work includes the painting of the exterior, installing a new roof on the primary accessory building, installing new lighting and HVAC units, installing a skylight, and replacing select windows. There are just a couple of things that staff want to touch upon with this project. The skylight is going to be placed up here, so it's going to be minimally visible, if at all. So staff was okay with its installation. The applicant is also proposing wood-clad windows to be installed in this side porch. As you all know, staff typically would not recommend clawed windows to be installed in a contributing building, but this element was expanded sometime between 1955 and 1966, outside the period of significance, given that this was added later. Staff can support the installation of the wood clawed windows. Finally, the applicant is proposing a fence around the HVAC unit. They provide a photo of the fence. Staff believes that the design is fine, but we see material information and information on the height. So with that, staff does recommend approval of this project with the condition that the fence information be provided. With that, does the commission have any questions?
Questions for staff?
The applicant is here as well.
All right, let's talk to the applicant.
Hello, Rebecca Fenwick, Ethos Preservation, representing the owner. I don't have any additional commentary, but I'm happy to answer any questions, and we're happy to provide the details that are requested by staff.
Any questions from board members? Okay, thank you. Hearing none, we have no public comment cards, so we will go into executive sessions. Brian, do you have any comments?
No comments. Brian Wilson.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathy.
Kathy Levine, I agree with staff.
Courtney.
Courtney Bonnie, agree with staff.
Great. Can I get a motion?
Motion to approve staff recommendations for the project at 101 East 35th Street, number 25-002806. COA, Ethos Preservation, Rebecca Fenwick for the non-contributing demolition and alterations.
Scott Krotzer, second.
Great. Having a motion tendered and seconded, let's go to a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Krotzer, approve.
Jeff Levine, approve.
Courtney Bonney, approve.
Jeff Ventrico, approve. Motion carries. Now we're going on to the petition of Eco-Friendly Construction and Design, Andre Gadsden, 25-002578, COA, 2407 Habersham Street, New Constructions, Part 1 and 2.
Thank you. This is Caitlin Chamberlain. The applicant's requesting approval to construct a multifamily residential house on the vacant lot located at 2407 Habersham Street. So just to kind of walk you through their submittal packet, this is some of the neighborhood context. This is on, it's Habersham, and then the corner is the cross street's East 40th. So these are some of the surrounding buildings. This will show, it's an interesting lot here. So that's the proposed area. And here's the site plan. And this is just showing how that extra portion of the lot is proposed to be parking, a driveway to get to parking behind the house. And there's our floor plans, elevations. Foundation plan. So overall, staff found most of the visual compatibility and standards were met, but for the floor-to-floor heights, this was to the second floor is just below 11 feet. It's 10'7½", where the ordinance says the minimum is 11, so staff's just recommending to adjust that to meet the standard for that. For windows, the applicant provided information that they are aluminum clad wood, which meets the standard for the double hung windows. But product information was not included about the accent windows and transom windows. So staff is just requesting that information, whether it's the same brand or not, but just so we can get all the material specs for those. And then for the 30% rule with the ground floor facades, the standard appears to be met for the front elevation, including the windows and four light doors. It is not noted whether this is the case for the side elevations, which will not be as prominently seen due to the house being set between a building on either side. Additionally, since both side elevations are less than 10 feet from the property line, they're subject to the more restrictive city building code, which notes a maximum of 25% fenestration on a building less than 10 feet from the property line. A special exception would not be required to have less due to section 1.1.8A of the city ordinance, which states the zoning, when the zoning ordinance conflicts with other regulations, the more restrictive requirements shall apply. For porches, stoops, balconies, and decks, for the porch materials, it says porch elements shall be constructed of brick painted or stained wood and so forth, which is proposed to be wood. So staff just recommends whether information on whether the wood elements will be painted or stained. And then for the vehicular access, as noted, there is no lane behind the property. The applicant proposes to use a rectangular rear portion of the lot as a driveway access from East 40th Street. Since the proposed driveway is part of the same property, it would seem to be the most appropriate access location. There is currently no curb cut that would allow for this access, so staff recommends that the applicant contacts the City Traffic Engineering Department to determine whether it will be possible to add one in that location. If this is permitted, staff also recommends the driveway installed as a ribbon strip to meet that standard. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the request to construct a multifamily house on the vacant lot located at 2407 Habersham Street with the following conditions to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the project. So one, provide product information for the rectangular accent and transom windows. Two, adjust the first floor height to meet the 11 feet minimum. Three, provide information about whether the wood porch elements will be painted or stained. And then four, contact City Traffic Engineering Department to determine whether it will be possible to add the curb cut in the proposed driveway location. And if it's permitted, staff also recommends the driveway installed as a ribbon strip to meet the standard. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have any questions from board members? Okay, hearing none. Is the petitioner here?
Possibly online, Andre Gadsden.
Okay, I guess not. I have one public comment.
LIA.
Leo. Yeah, I got it.
Oh. As long as we get it.
Disconnect the other.
I'm sorry.
If you can disconnect your other device from the meeting, we are getting a feedback here.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Is that on my?
We are still getting it.
Okay, are we going to hear from them or?
Okay.
Hello.
This is Andre speaking.
Okay. Andre, what is your full name? Hello. Hello.
This is Andre.
Can you please give your full name?
Can't hear anything from you guys.
Hello?
Technical difficulty. Sorry.
Okay, I think we're going to move on without comments from this petitioner. We're going to go ahead and close. Let's see. Oh, I've got a comment card from Ellie Isaacs.
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. It's the last time you have to hear from me today. Our Architectural Review Committee would like to recommend a continuance on this item. We greatly appreciate that a vacant lot will be turned into a multifamily housing. However, we have several concerns regarding visual compatibility and design. First, the front facade has unsymmetrical openings and lacks rhythm, and there is a lack of windows on the rear facade. Lastly, Savannah has a multitude of phenomenal historic, examples of the same or similar configuration that would be more visually compatible and practical with a single interior stair versus having an exterior side entrance stair, which is not common. So.
Thank you. We will close this now to board discussion, starting with Brian. Any comments?
Brian Woods. I would appreciate a little bit of clarification from staff about, okay, so it says approve, but it still says it would need to be reviewed before they could start the project. So it's going to be continued either way. Is that kind of?
So when a project is approved with conditions, it's things that we felt were minor enough that if the commission agrees that it is deferred to staff level approval, this is not the last stop on the project. So there's still other permits and approvals through the city that they would need to get. But one of those aspects is that we stamp their final plans that they submit to the city to get their permit. So at that time, by then, those conditions would have to be met, or we wouldn't stamp them.
Okay. I have no further comments. I agree with staff recommendation, but also I would like to see them consider more visually compatible elements that like she mentioned.
Scott Krotzer, I agree with both staff and HSF recommendation. Not necessarily to continue, but if, I don't know, the design of the stairway on the side, I think could be integrated better to follow forms in the neighborhood.
Any other comments?
Kathy Levana, I agree with staff. I agree with Historic Savannah Foundation. I think the front fenestration pattern needs to be redesigned. It's a single building duplex, and historic building patterns either mimic the two sides or they butterfly the two sides. The pattern is off, and it definitely needs to be re-looked at. And the alignment of the windows are a concern, as is the side stair. I believe that this cannot be completed by staff, that it needs to be continued.
Courtney
Bonney, I agree with Kathy on this one, that there's enough that needs to be looked at more and reconfigured. I think the exterior stair needs to be moved to the interior of the building. I would recommend a continuance on this to give the petitioner time to make those changes and represent them next month.
Okay, great. Can I get a motion?
Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of 2407 Habersham Street, 25-002578-COA, eco-friendly construction and design, Andre Gadson, new construction, small parts 1 and 2. I guess can the petitioner hear me? To the July 23rd meeting, because the overall design needs to be reconsidered as previously stated.
Scott Krotzer, I second.
Okay, having a motion offered and seconded, I would like to go to a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods approve.
Scott Krotzer approve.
Kathy Levina approve.
Courtney Bonney approve.
Jeff Patrica approve. Motion carries. On to item number 29, the petition of MPW Construction LLC, Michael Woodward, 25-002761 COA, 1001 Goog Street, contributing demolition.
Thank you. This is Caitlin again. The applicant's requesting approval for the demolition of a contributing resource located at 1001 Goog Street. The structure is partially dilapidated. The request for the applicant is so that a livable property may be built on the lot. So just for some context and the surrounding area, 1001 Goog Street was built in 1948 and is listed as a contributing resource within the Carver Village Conservation District. It is a one-story cinder block structure in the American small house style commonly seen throughout Carver Village. This property is on a corner lot of Goog and Winburn Streets. Based on the 2005 Carver Village Neighborhood Redevelopment Plan, the property has been documented as vacant since at least that time, and as per the appendix to vacant lots and properties in that document. Google Street View images from 2012 and 2016, respectively, also show how the property has fallen into a deeper state of deterioration. In 2016, the roof appears to have started to decay, but the walls were still intact. At present, the roof has caved in and the wall facing Winburn Street has collapsed, leaving the house open and exposed to the elements. So For conservation districts, the review process for contributing demolition and all requests for demolition of any building within a conservation district shall be reviewed by the City of Savannah's Historic Preservation Officer prior to the issuance of a demolition permit. For the purposes of this section, demolition shall include the removal of 50% or more of a building. The building's already listed as a contributing resource, thus it is being referred to the HPC for review. Criteria for contributing status, a building must meet one or more of the following criteria to be considered a contributing building. So as noted, it's already identified as such and has been deemed previously to meet the criteria for contributing status. Staff has reviewed the criteria based on the current condition of the building. The building was constructed in 1948 and has lost integrity of design, materials, and workmanship. The setting and location of the site itself have not changed aside from the dilapidated state of the building. The integrity of this particular house is such that it has lost some of the contributing resource criteria due to this condition. So, just the overall context, the development of Carver Village began with a subdivision plan in 1947. It was approved by the City Council on January 9th, 1948. The Carver Village subdivision plan was slated to include 600 buildings and two parks. It was one of the earliest developments that required the Federal Housing Administration to put aside redlining guidelines, which were standard at the time. Redlining was a practice initiated by the FHA in the 1930s to steer private mortgage investors away from majority-minority neighborhoods. Carver Village is a socially and architecturally significant neighborhood. The Carver Village Exclusive Colored Housing Development, as it was called at the time, was the first of its kind, providing low-cost loans to African-American homebuyers and providing the city funds for infrastructure. Interestingly, the FHA revised its segregated housing policy in December 1949, making Carver Village one of the nation's first black subdivisions as well as the last federally funded segregated neighborhood in the U.S. There was a design competition to determine the style of houses to be built for this development. The winner was Cletus W. Bergen, a prominent Savannah architect known for his work with public housing projects in the area. Many of the houses in Carver Village are intact. The loss of one blighted property such as this would not compromise the significance of this neighborhood. 1001 Gouge Street is but one of hundreds of houses that contribute to the significance of Carver Village. While this history is important, the loss of one deteriorated building will not undermine its importance of the local and national history associated with Carver Village. So criteria for demolition, approval for demolition of a contributing building shall only be issued by the Historic Preservation Commission when one of the following conditions has been established. A, the demolition is required to alleviate a threat to public health or public safety. This building has been listed as a vacant property since at least 2005. As seen in Google Street View images, its condition has only deteriorated further in recent years to the point where the wall and roof material have collapsed, leaving a blighted building open to the elements. This can be seen as a threat to public health and safety. Criterion B is the demolition is required to avoid exceptional practical difficulty or undue hardship upon any owner of any specific property. The applicant did not include this information, but staff finds that criterion A is met. For additional stipulations, one is to document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition, and B, within the Carver Village / Flatman Village Conservation District, the recombination of lots shall be prohibited. Although the Conservation District Ordinance for Demolition of Contributing Resources is not pending on a required COA for a new development plan, this condition is stated to ensure that a recombination is not included as part of any new proposed construction for the site. So with that, the staff recommendation is to approve the demolition request for the dilapidated building located at 1001 Gouge Street with the following conditions. Because there are not sufficient criteria to support the building remaining contributing due to its condition, and because the demolition criteria are met. So one is to document the building as per the City of Savannah's policy for documenting buildings prior to demolition. to ensure that a recombination is not included as part of any new construction proposed for the site. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions from board members?
I just have one, Caitlin Scott Krotzer. Can you go back to the previous picture for me? As someone that's really vested in deconstruction, this house did not collapse. It's been torn apart. So I just want, I don't know if there's been a stop demo on this at some point, because all of the material would still be there if it collapsed. So that's what I just found that interesting. But, and the way that the roof is taken down, it looks like mechanical, like, you know. So I was just wondering if there was a stop demo on it at some point, or
because we were not aware of that. Nothing came up in our research. But if you want to check with the petitioner.
Kathy Levine, I've got a question for staff. With the new design, does that come through the HBC?
No, design standards, so it does not.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, can we hear from the petitioner?
How y'all doing? My name is Michael Woodard. Our agenda is to, of course, rebuild a traditional house there and use it as such space. That's the agenda. We're going to use the material as far as using on the outside. We hopefully hope to use hardy board, rapid, standard roof, standard material, siding, maybe around the fascia and the sofa, and just give it an ideal look of clean and safe neighborhood.
Any questions from board members? Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
We have no public comment cards, so we will go into board discussion. Brian?
Brian Woods, I agree with staff recommendation.
Scott Krotzer, no further comment. Agree with staff.
Kathy Ledvina, I do not agree with staff with the approval of the demolition. I think it's a historic, a significant historic resource in the Carver Village plan. It's a one-story concrete block building built on a slab. It's not hard to reconstruct that portion of the building. It's not hard to put a new roof on that property. It does not need to be demolished. It can be, like I said, reconstructed and in its original configuration and become a contributing part of the historic Carver Village.
Courtney.
Courtney Bonney. The petitioner, you mentioned that you were planning on reusing part of the building as the new construction. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, yeah.
When you were describing your plans, you were saying y'all were planning on reconstructing the building, portions of it?
No, ma'am. We plan on demolishing the building and building new there.
Courtney Bonney, I agree with Kathy that there's enough of the building that is still in salvageable shape that I think further exploration on how the new construction could integrate into this and maintain a lot of the existing resources.
Okay, do I have a motion from anybody?
Kathy Levina, I move that the Historic Preservation Commission deny the petition of 1001 Gouge Street 25-002761-COA MPW Construction LLC Michael Woodward contributing demolition based on the salvageability of the historic resource in the Carver Village development plan.
Brian Woods, I don't know if we're past this point, but
is it too late to hear from the petitioner about his opinion about if there, if the materials are salvageable or not? I mean, since he's going to be doing the work, did you want to add something to explain to us why you would just want to do a full demolition?
Like she said, that it's words can't explain how old this house is, first of all. Words can't explain how deterioration of it has been met by nature and the element of. So, I mean, it's ludicrous to even, you know, try to refurbish it in the nature of, because it's ludicrous. But, you know, that's it. I wish I could, because it would save me some money. Period.
Okay, so do we have a, we had a motion, Kathy? Okay, somebody want to second it?
Could we make a recommendation or entertain the idea of doing like a commemorative plaque or something like that, just to speak to the house that used to be there or something like that for anybody who have a problem?
I don't think it's in the purview of this conservation district.
Yeah. Okay, can I get a second?
I think maybe rather than an outright denial, maybe a continuance with further exploration. Yeah, I understand exactly where the petitioner is coming from, that it looks pretty gnarly in its current state. But I think, you know, if you were open to it, maybe getting an opinion from a contractor on how much could be rebuilt or, you know, is salvageable. Because, again, you know, the existing walls, I think, are in pretty solid structural shape. So if you guys are amenable to it, I would recommend a continuance to get more evaluation.
Can I add something else? I am a contractor. So based on my
skillful knowledge, this is what I'm based my opinion off. And I'm a contractor for the city of Savannah as well. I've been a contractor for 30 years.
Okay, folks, do you want to second this? You want to withdraw it? You want to amend your motion, Kathy? We got to do something.
Bring this up on Google Images. I'm trying to, but I can't get muted.
Yeah, so it's set back pretty far on the lot, but this is Winburn Street.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's not big. Mm. Okay. Kathy, somebody want to second the motion? Somebody want to offer another motion?
Scott Kratzer, I understand why we're groveling about this now. So I second her motion. I think there should be some more documentation and more views of it that we can assess before making a decision to remove it.
Okay, having a motion tendered and seconded, I'd like to call for a vote. Brian?
Brian Woods, approve.
Scott Kratzer, approve.
Kathy Levina, approve.
Courtney Bonnie, deny.
Jeff Dufriga, deny. Motion carries. Okay. So we now have the anything else, Caitlin?
That was the last item.
So we're done?
Yes.
All right, folks, thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.